back. The prep tip of the day is to stock up on feminine hygiene and birth control products. This is the John Moore Show on Wednesday, the 13th of December. We have patient Wendy Green and my friend Jeff Nyquist. Jeff began a quest about 37 years ago. Was it 37 years ago, Jeff?
Yeah, that would be right.
About right. To understand, comprehend, eventually become quite expert in anything and everything to do with the International Commerce Conspiracy. He has 6 books for sale at Amazon that he either authored or co-authored. And he has an excellent website that I highly recommend. That's jrnyquist.blog. I say again, jrnyquist.blog, where one, sometimes two articles a week are published. And Jeff, good morning, sir.
Sorry, excuse me.
Okay, he's got a little cough. He'll get past that in a moment. Well, Jeff, we already have our first caller from the beautiful country of Germany. We have Thomas. Good morning, Thomas.
Greetings. Good morning, gentlemen. And greetings to John from Texas as well. I hope he's fine. Mr. Nyquist, again, I'm referring to Trevor Loudon's latest report on LFA TV on Rumble. I'd like to talk about Julie Beeling. She's an anti-communist health freedom advocate who wrote her master thesis on underground Christian movements in the Soviet Union. Her documentary of her book, Beneath Sheep's Clothing, The Communist Takeover of Culture in the USSR and Parallels in Today's America, will premiere on the 11th of January in Phoenix, Arizona, with Trevor Loudon and James Lindsay. And the online premiere will be around January 19th at beneathsheepsclothing.movie. Julie Beeling writes, "Over a century ago, the communist playbook began to be utilized on American soil. It appears to be close to reaching the pinnacle, after which there will be nothing to be done. America will fall to totalitarian rule. But if we do something about it, but not if we do something about it. The time is now to intimately understand the playbook of the enemy so we can foil the ravenous communist machine that has taken hold of our children, our churches, and our society." Yeah, I was asking for your comment on that. And if you have maybe heard about the Siberian 7 before.
No, I hadn't actually heard about the Siberian 7. But I saw the interview that Trevor did with Beeling, and the movie looks really good. Because what she's saying is that we have got a Soviet education system, and this is the same thing that Robin S. Eubanks, who wrote the book Credentialed to Destroy, said some years back. She had seen her children. She was in Atlanta. Mother and lawyer, and she decided to research where her children were getting their education. So she found out that the educational programs, and this is not just in school districts in Georgia, but all throughout the United States, American educationists had gone to the Soviet Union in the 1970s, and they had gotten this from the Soviet system, and that it had been everything had been translated into English so we could do the Soviet system here. And the only thing that wasn't included, and of course it was a little different than the Soviet system, it was kind of designed by them for us, was the documents explaining why they designed it the way it was. Those were never translated into English or shared with Americans. That was a comment she made to me when I interviewed her. But yes, this is a very serious thing. And of course, the communists regard Christian education to be, and Christianity to be, their primary enemy. And of course, in the Soviet Union and all the communist countries, if you are seriously religious, if you're teaching your children about God and how to pray, you can end up in jail or the gulag, because they don't want that. And of course, they will tolerate churches that they control. And that's the other thing, infiltrating the churches and controlling them. Then they control the subtle content of your church teachings. And they can bend it, like Hitler created something called positive Christianity, which was going to ultimately be melded into a kind of a new Nazi religion. So this was This was is kind of what the communists want to do with Christianity.
Yeah, I've seen now that in Poland, the super minority left government under Tusk has been initiated, and all the ministers. I refer to the patriotic opposition, Law and Justice, and to their wording, and they are talking about keeping watch, watching out for Poland. So it's words about defense of Poland, and I have seen I wonder what has happened the last 8 years during law and justice rule, and I could find that schools were supported to create military courses, and so this is on a high school level. It's like 2 or 4 year programs where you get your high school teachings and your high school diploma, but also there's military courses that are more intensive or less intensive, that is more tailored to either border guards or fire rescue or forest, or naval, sea patrol, coast guard. And this is what I take that actually stays from those good 8 years, that they were able to structuralize something that makes the theme of defense strong. Because if you want to be patriotic, and then there is a certain step where all the talk, you can do more things when you go practical, because all the media around you, they're backfiring. So I was wondering, because that's what Dealing is also saying, how can we create, because I think that's the key thing, a picture of the enemy again, so that we get this internal push and we want to defend and we wake up?
Well, that's difficult because on the other side, you have Law and Justice, and you have leaders in that party that understand that Russia is still communist. They've read Gallitzin, and they've even had Gallitzin translated. That's the KGB defector who said, look, they're going to fake liberalization in the Soviet Union, and they're going to break up the Eastern Bloc to get the U.S. to disarm. And that partly worked, because we haven't built a nuclear weapon since 1992. But it didn't work as well as they thought it did. And so they had the problem in Ukraine and the problem in Poland with the Law and Justice Party. And so this has become, a lot part of their plan backfired. And the thing to do is to try to point to people the consistencies with Putin and Stalin, Putin and Khrushchev, how deceptive Putin is, how his Christianity and his nationalism is false. How what real Russian nationalists have to say about him, how they're in exile, how they're arrested for fighting for real Russian nationalism. And of course, some Ukrainians know this better than anyone, what Russia is doing to Ukraine. And of course, the fact that the West is thoroughly infiltrated. This is the thing. You can't fight them unless you know them, unless you know what kind of positions and tactics and so on that they take. So you have to describe their position. They're on the right and they're on the left. In Germany with the AfD, they're on the right. And they're getting into the MAGA movement here in the U.S. And they're using their agents of influence. People like Colonel Douglas McGregor and Scott Ritter, for example, are good examples in the U.S. of people who are supporting the Russian propaganda. I mean, they say what's right on Russian TV, Russian state TV. Literally, it's taken right off of there. You don't need to make any kind of, all it is a translation into English, basically. And it's baffling to me. But because the Russian TV is not accessible to most Americans, they can't recognize it as directly Russian. And and Tusk, of course, is much more subtle in what he does. But he's part of that old, socialist establishment in communist Poland. He and his people, they had a, what the communists created in Eastern Europe was a controlled opposition movements. I mean, you talk to someone from Fighting Solidarity, and they will tell you Solidarity started out as a good thing. Then the communists said, join Solidarity. So the communists started to join Solidarity to take it over. That's what happens. Whenever you create something good, the communists want to join it. And unless you have really good leaders, like Law and Justice, they're going to take it over. And the same thing in Ukraine. How Ukraine managed to break free to be able to fight a war is just, it's a kind of a miracle.
Yeah.
Because the communists are so good at infiltrating. And of course, they're still combating moles. There's arrests every day in Ukraine of Russian spies. And you've got the same struggle going on in Romania. In Hungary, Orban is clearly a communist apparatchik aligned with Putin.
Yes.
But in order to make this clear to people, you have to get them to see this certain principles and patterns that have existed since the Cold War ended and the basic lies. There's great resources. There's books like Andrei Codorescu's Hole in the Flag about the Romanian Revolution. And he defected to the United States. He was the first American citizen in Romania when Ceausescu fell. And he ran into a Russian journalist in Transylvania, and he found out the Russian journalist had flooded in there before the revolution had happened. He found out that the orders for overthrowing Ceausescu came from Moscow. It wasn't some spontaneous uprising of the people. And he goes into it in the book. It's a brilliant book. And you've got Robert Bukhar's film about the same thing in the Velvet Revolution in Czechoslovakia. It was ordered from Moscow. Bukhar interviews former STB officers about how the orders came from Moscow, and they were given airplane tickets to flee to Moscow when it was all done. And then, of course, the German Revolution, the Russians were attempting to unite Germany, believing they would control the whole of Germany. And like Alex Banish has said, all of the chancellors since Helmut Kohl in Germany have been communists, basically. Schroeder,
yeah,
you know, Angela yeah. Merkel, and now Scholz. They all have this communist background. I mean, Angela Merkel, the head of the Christian Democratic Union, was basically a communist youth leader in East Germany, and that was hidden from the German public for a long time. So this struggle goes on in Europe. And in France, look at what do you think is going on in France with this president? He goes to China, he kowtows to them. He's brought China into France in a big way.
Marine Le Pen, they're right, also.
Yeah, and then, she's argued with her father about it. He's smarter about Russia, but she wants to align to France with Russia. So they've got, if they can get, they play this game with China and Russia, where China and Russia are allied, but they're playing two sides of the street. One is playing the left side of the street, the other's playing the right side of the street. You notice how that works. And we see it here in the United States with Antifa and the far left. And then we see the far right MAGA being drawn into Putin's orbit. So if we can understand the game, how they're playing it and how expertly and where this propaganda is coming from. You know, when they accused Trump of being a Russian puppet, what the people who really did the study of the Russian manipulations on social media was that Russia was actually putting out propaganda for both Trump and for Hillary Clinton in the 2016 election. Now, that's kind of peculiar, but it was what's interesting. What nobody did is study, well, what were those messages for the left and for the right? And, of course, you go to Igor Panarin, who's a KGB colonel. Anyone can look him up, you know, do a Google on him. There's a lot of stuff on him on the Internet, and there's interviews with him. He was tasked in 1991, before the fall of the Soviet Union, for studying the prospects of a civil war in America, which he keeps saying is going to happen. Well, what are you doing by creating certain narratives for the left and the right is you're trying to set that up, you see. And they could be playing the same game in other countries too. I think they are doing it in Spain, for example. Could be doing it in Germany. But you got to watch those messages really carefully. You got to do a lot of analysis. But this is the game for breaking up Western civilization and destroying and plundering it on the part of Russia and China and their smaller allies.
Let's revisit that movie that premieres next month, The Name, and how people can see it.
Oh, yeah. Well, the, the best to be interested in the movie is to go again to the LFATV channel on Rumble and search for the latest Trevor Loudon report, which airs about each Sunday. But the movie is called Beneath Sheep's Clothing Together .movie. That's the website for the movie, Beneath Sheep's Clothing. And it's great. It's honestly like, the second episode or the second movie that connects to Trevor Loudon's movie, Enemies Within. So it's a Christian movie and amazing analysis. And it actually shows, you know, what we can do. We don't need to be all soldiers, but scientists can really help the same movement. Yeah.
Outstanding. Well, that's a great call. Anything else, Thomas, before you get away?
No, that's all. Thank you.
Thank you for the call. I always look forward to Thomas's calls, don't you, Jeff?
Oh, yeah. He's doing his homework, and he's digging up things that are valuable.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Our next caller is Pat in Oregon. Break coming up in about 2 minutes. Go ahead, Pat.
Hi, guys. Thanks a lot. I know the time's short, so I'll make a quick question here. I don't know, Jeff, if you heard that Alex Jones was on the RT International main channel yesterday for a half-hour interview, and I had to think to myself that the Russian intelligence that handles RT and all must have been laughing and just rubbing their hands together how successful they've been in penetrating the far right. And don't know if you had a chance to hear that, but be interested in your comments about it. Thanks.
I didn't hear it, but I've followed Jones for more than 20 years, and I think the interesting thing is the Russians are very smart. They know the history of conspiracy theory, and they know that the Russian special services under the Tsar used conspiracy narratives to manipulate public opinion, and they did this with the Protocols of the Elders of Zion, a famous forgery by the Tsar's secret police. The head of the Okhrana in Paris concocted this by taking in part a book called Conversations in Hell between Machiavelli and Montesquieu, and basically just rearranging the text a little bit and claiming it's part of this discussion is part of a discussion of Jewish elders at a secret meeting in Switzerland about taking over the world, you know, Jewish people taking over the world. And of course, they discovered. The British were the first, British researchers were the first to publicly expose that this was a forgery, and they were able to take Joly's text, that's the guy that wrote this book that it was copied, plagiarized from, and to show that it was a fake. It was later researchers that showed that it was of Russian secret police origin. And this use of the secret police to create Masonic or Jewish conspiracy theories goes back to Napoleon's head of the secret police, Fouché.
And hold so that now, thought, Jeff. Hold that thought.
Yeah,
we'll continue after the break. Stay tuned.
Einstein once said, "Future medicine will be the medicine of frequencies." What did he know? Imagine you hear ocean waves caressing a beach, or a favorite song from the past, or the trickle of the babbling brook. All of these are sound frequencies that positively affect us. Terahertz is a soothing, healing frequency that has been proven to resonate at the same frequency as healthy cells. It penetrates the body and stimulates new healthy cell growth. Want to diminish muscle aches, joint pains, and experience a greater sense of well-being? Tired of spending money on short-term remedies that never seem to work? Soothing, healing, relaxing terahertz frequency is now available and as handy as flipping a switch. Terahertz technology is changing the course of what we were taught about how to maintain our health and well-being. To learn more about this amazing breakthrough, go to naturalearthmedicine.com. That's naturalearthmedicine.com.
Go to republicbroadcasting.org, smash that donate button. like Russian peacekeepers smashing through the Azov neo-Nazi terrorists in the Donbass.
I don't think you can explain politics without looking at Jewish power any more than you can explain physics without dealing with gravity.
9/11 was a jointly conducted covert operation that involved multiple states, the Saudis, the Israelis, and what you could call the deep state in the United States.
With anti-Semitic remarks.
yeah, you're jiggling juice, we used to say, the dancing Israelis.
So even the Republicans now are compromising, and they're pushing issues that are destructive to the white race.
They would always say, like, are we just going to talk about this stuff on the radio? Like, what are we going to do about it?
Either we force the democracy to work by actually getting the ballot access, getting the candidates, getting in office, getting our message out there to the people, or we expose just how undemocratic it is.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show, Tuesday at 9 Central and Wednesday at 1 Central.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from Simply Clean Foods, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters.
Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on long-term food storage in the rotating sponsors banners to support RBN.
Simply Clean Foods. Do it today.
Company will fix bayonets! Fix! Bayonets! Attention!
All right, we're back, ladies and gentlemen. My website is thelibertyman.com. There's a lot there. You want to get up to date on the worst crime in human history, the COVID vaccination clot shot consequences. More than 200 articles and videos right there for you to read and look at, including articles and videos by Dr. Michael Yaden, former vice president at Pfizer, former director of medical research at Pfizer, who says in no uncertain terms that all the COVID vaccination clot shots are meant to hurt and kill people. Details at thelibertyman.com. We have with us my friend Jeff Nyquist. His website is jrnyquist.blog. I say again, jrnyquist.blog. Books for sale at Amazon. Jeff, before we get back to our conversation, how can people subscribe to your website, please?
There's a PayPal button to support the site under the articles.
Outstanding. Let's continue where we left off at the break there.
Yeah, I was describing why Alex Jones is a very effective tool for the Russians, because he really is attracted and believes in conspiracy theory. There's a long tradition of secret police using conspiracy theories as a way of manipulating public opinion. They've realized that I think my way of reading him is that they saw how he was. There's a propensity with conspiracy theories to blame your own side and therefore to maybe cozy up to the enemy, because you are seeing a sort of fictitious enemy, a they-them that control everything behind the scenes, insiders, whether they're the creatures of UFO aliens, or which sometimes, you know, when he calls the site Prison Planet, he's sometimes alluding to that, or whether it's the Masonic Jewish conspiracy or other versions of that. It is very useful in the Russian game. And they are using this mentality. They're shaping these narratives on the right to get control of the right, and especially in Germany and the United States, with the AfD in Germany and with the MAGA movement in the U.S. And they've had success in those two countries, and in other countries too. They tried this, but they've really focused on this in Germany and the United States. And Jones has been a particular figure in this. I don't know if you saw Jones's interview with Soloviev, the Russian TV, Joseph Goebbels of Russian TV. Did you see that one?
Yes, I did.
And you saw how they invited him to live in Russia, and they would set him up with everything.
Oh, yeah, have his own dacha and vodka and everything.
Yeah. They really want him, and he's very useful to them. And of course, his first big foray was in, you know, aside from saying 9/11 was an inside job, which was right out of the Russian playbook. I mean, the Russian generals were supporting that. They were going to Paris to support this. 9/11 was an inside job, and the Pentagon was hit by a missile and stuff. This is, they were supporting that. But Jones in 2008, not surprisingly, came out in favor of Putin and justifying his invasion of Georgia. So, and so it's not surprising that that he would then be so useful to them now after this war in Ukraine has begun.
One thing I found interesting listening to the interview yesterday, he's using the Russian language of the unipolar world versus the multipolar world, and he seems to think that Russia is no threat, that the threat are the globalists. He's always referring to the globalists, that they have a depopulation agenda, some of which may be valid, that whole thing about depopulation, but he refuses to understand who the real enemies are. He calls out China, but he sees China is working in league like equals with the globalists, when China and Russia are probably manipulating the globalists. They're going to use whatever they can to their advantage to achieve their ultimate goals.
Yeah, this is the problem with using vague terms like globalist, which don't have a very definite meaning. What you've got is someone like Klaus Schwab who wants to apply the communist Chinese model of society to the West. Well, he goes to Beijing. He has communist events there. He's been friends with Putin for a long time. Klaus Schwab, when he gave an interview a couple of years back, you could see there was a bust of Lenin in his library on the shelf behind it. Maybe he'd forgotten it was there. He is he appears to be a communist and a communist agent. Protege of Henry Kissinger, who's quite suspect, who died last week or the week before last. So, the globalists, what they are, just like the deep state, they're just communist agents, wolves in sheep's clothing, so to speak, that are advancing the cause of communism or socialism in the West. And so but yet when you use this term loosely, you end up applying it to industrialists and bankers and everybody of importance in the West, so that you create this thing where people now have a revolutionary mindset. Oh, we have to overthrow capitalism in the West. We have to overthrow our bankers and our industrialists because they're all evil. They're in a plot to depopulate us, as if Procter & Gamble doesn't want any customers anymore, right? So, or the oil companies are evil. And of course, we've lived comfortably because of those companies. The capitalism has brought us a great way of life and has brought us a strong military, but they want to break that down. So if they can turn us against ourselves and cause a civil war here, they can triumph. And of course, these narratives help in that. These loose terms like globalist, for example, not precisely defining or saying. And you'll notice people in the media, they get punished if they use the word communist too much and if they apply the word communist to Russia or China. This is what they don't want, and they don't want to show that Russia and China are really together and have been together all along.
Pat,
thanks,
you have anything
guys.
Else
I
for us?
Hold on. I want to encourage everybody to...
Okay. Hold on through the break. We got a break. We'll be right back.
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news. Real talk. Real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home.
Email Tom at republicbroadcasting.org. TOM at republicbroadcasting.org.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we the people are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
Dear Liberty Man, my aches and pains are making it hard for me to sleep at night. What's a girl to do? Sign, Sleepless in St. Louis.
Dear Sleepless, I recommend the Energy Cleaner. The Energy Cleaner transmits a healing electrostatic signal to every cell in your body, flushing out toxins, relieving pain, aiding with sleep. The Energy Cleaner is sold exclusively at my website, thelibertyman.com. And Sleepless, there is a bonus. Signed, The Liberty Man.
Thanks to the Energy Cleaner and The Liberty Man, I'm sleepless no more. There he is now. Hold on, Sandman. Thank you, Liberty Man.
As I said to those who've joined the government, I have nothing to offer but blood, toil, tears, and sweat.
All right, we're back, ladies and gentlemen. My website is thelibertyman.com. We have information there that will help you understand the world we live in and make decisions based on reality rather than fiction. And, of course, products that will help you also, such as the Arkhaven development down in near Harrison, Arkansas. You want a safe place to live, to retire, to raise a family, to bring grandkids. Arkhaven will be just a ticket. Details at thelibertyman.com. Visiting with Jeff Nyquist, his website, jrnyquist.blog. And Pat from Oregon, you got a further comment or question. Go ahead, Pat.
Yeah, I want to thank Jeff. I've been listening to your interviews with Alex Spanish and Jimmy in Brooklyn. And I would encourage all the listeners to check those out, check out your blog site there. Thanks for the information you give us.
Well, thank you for listening. Yeah, jrnyquist.blog, jrnyquist.blog, yeah. Yeah, Jimmy is a great resource about how the communists work in the United States and how they're connected to the Russians and Chinese. He'd actually infiltrated the Communist Party USA, so he's learned from firsthand. So he is a valuable resource.
Okay, thanks, Pat, have a great day.
Thank you for the call. We appreciate it. We got open lines. You want to give us a call at 512-248-8252. Well, Jeff, any updates on the war in Ukraine, sir?
Yeah, well, you know, Zelensky has been visiting Washington, and it looks like Biden has set it up so that he gets to keep the border open, and he's got the Republicans frustrated, and the Republicans imagine that he really cares about Ukraine and he wants to swap. But it's a win-win for him if he gets to cut off Ukraine and blame the Republicans and keep the border open. And they don't realize by doing this, they're cutting off their nose and spite their face. They don't realize they're walking into a trap. So Biden or his political handlers have been very clever. And I think Ukraine is running out of ammunition. Ukraine has repulsed the attacks of the Russians bloodily. The Russians have suffered heavy casualties in recent battles around Avdiivka, for example. If they don't get ammunition, and the other thing people don't understand, this was amazing. I watched Laura Ingraham last night on Fox News. She's terribly misinformed. 90% of the money that goes to Ukraine, it doesn't really go to Ukraine. It's spent here in America to build factories, making jobs for Americans, making ammunition. So people don't realize this money is spent here, not in Ukraine. It doesn't leave here. It doesn't even reach Ukraine. What reaches Ukraine is things that we make, something we export, which helps our allies in Europe, because there are 600,000 Ukrainians. This is what has been revealed by more than 500,000 Ukrainians fighting the Russians. And if we don't supply them and they collapse, there's not another 600,000 soldiers to defend Poland and the Baltic states. Even if you take the 100,000 American troops in Europe and you add them to the Polish and the Baltic states and the German army, which is, the numbers don't matter, they're useless, you don't have a proper defense of Europe. And only the rapid deployment forces of France and Spain and Italy and Great Britain and a few tardy brigades are going to arrive in time there. And so the Russians, if we can't make this work, if we don't spend that money here to keep those plants operating, and those are jobs for Americans, we won't even have the ammunition for the Polish and the U.S. Army, because we're, as a recent report showed, we're not ready for a major ground war. We're not ready.
Absolutely. Well, these events are events that could have major consequences for the United States and the rest of the world, aren't they?
Yes, and especially since Putin has now publicly made the same statement about Poland he made about Ukraine. Well, Polish sovereignty, oh, they're not really sovereign. Maybe they are, maybe they aren't, and maybe they need to go next. And there's been a number of commentators who really know Russia well who are saying that Putin wants to go to Berlin before his death. He wants to do a Stalin. He wants to basically take Berlin.
Take Berlin, which would mean bringing Germany under control of the Soviet Union. Is that accurate?
Under Russian control, yeah, and to reestablish the Soviet Union. I mean, Defense Minister Sergei Shoigu was caught on video, and it was put on X or Twitter like a year ago, saying that first we will reestablish the Soviet Union, then we will have peace. And of course, that reestablishment means going back to Berlin, all the way reestablishing control over all of East and Central Europe that the Soviet Union controlled. That is, rolling back the fall of the Soviet Union.
Right. Yeah. Well, most Americans, including myself, are quite astounded at these desires of Russia to reestablish the Soviet Union. We've got, looks like we've got a caller here, Jeff. We've got James in Vancouver, Canada. Good morning, James.
Yes, good morning. This crossed my mind. What was that little love affair between Barack Obama and Medvedev when Barack Obama was caught on the hot mic? What was that one about?
That was in South Korea at a conference in March of 2012. And that was before, like a giant dance troupe, the entire left made an about-face, and from being pro-Russian, they went anti-Russian because they had to. They realized they'd exposed themselves with Obama being caught on that hot mic with Medvedev. They were in a panic to cover that up because, and people can, you can go online and watch it. He says to Medvedev, you know, tell Vladimir, you know, I can be flexible in the arms talks, but I need to be elected one more time. That is, I can't seem to be giving everything away to Russia until I've secured a second term.
Yeah. And you know, I saw Obama amazing. Grab Medvedev's leg. That was quite interesting. I saw it very suggestive there. What do you think?
That Medvedev what?
Well, he while he was telling Medvedev that he would have more political clout in his second term, he grabbed Medvedev's leg. You know what that means?
Oh, yes, the body language between the two of them, the way they were, how
yeah.
close they were. Showed this relationship, and of course, if you go back and study, you read Michael McFaul's book, who was Putin's chief Russia advisor and then became ambassador to Russia, you realize that Putin had this love affair with, Obama had this love affair with Putin, and that was constantly trying to get recognition from Putin as like a lapdog, and that... you know, Putin kind of treated him like a child who was screwing up all the time. And where the relationship changed in the Obama administration was that after this terrible foul up in it was actually I remembered it wrong the other day. It was just about 2 months later, 2-3 months later. I think it was in June of 2012. And of course, this hot mic thing happened in March. Hillary Clinton went to St. Petersburg with a delegation, a rather large one, but the delegation never met with the Russians. Instead, Hillary Clinton went off in a side room for 2 hours with Sergei Lavrov, the Russian foreign minister, without a translator, without any American witnesses. Came out, would not talk about it. This is in Michael McFaul's book. Michael McFaul was greatly puzzled by what occurred in that meeting. And and Clinton was troubled by what she had heard. But then it was the beginning of the about face. They were starting to reorient. They still were pro-Russian for some months. Then John Kerry, who took over as Secretary of State in the second Obama term, went to Moscow, met with Putin. Then he had 2 hours privately with Sergei Lavrov without a translator. This is highly improper for American officials to be meeting. I mean, Henry Kissinger was the last one, I think, who did this, who met privately with Russian officials without any other witnesses. And this, by the way, disturbed people at the CIA, not only James Angleton, but Leonard McCoy of CIA Counterintelligence, who believed that Kissinger was giving away secrets in his private meetings with Anatoly Dobrynin in January of 1977, in the last days of Kissinger's tenure as Secretary of State. So, and this is told in the book Widows, if anybody wants to look it up. But it's we have this disturbing history of people in the West acting like they're Russia's enemies, who may be Russian agents and may be on the hook. I mean, you look at Biden. We know the Bukovsky file shows that Biden was on the hook, has been on the hook to Russia since 1979. He compromised himself with it. Bukovsky, among the Communist Party Soviet Union archival documents he stole, were documents about Biden, where the Central Committee is saying, you know, he's our guy. He says he says he's our friend. He just has to posture by making anti-Russian, anti-Soviet noises, but he's really going to help us. And this is in documents. You know, the Bukovsky file and translations of these documents are online. People can look them up. And so Vladimir Bukovsky had been a political prisoner in the Soviet Union. He was in the Gulag. And he had managed to steal these documents when he was allowed in the Soviet Union, Communist Party Soviet Union archive. And I think it was in 91 or 92. And they didn't know what a scanner was. And he had this little device and he was copying documents one after the other. And they didn't even realize he was doing it because they weren't allowing anybody, you know, they were allowing people to see things, but they weren't allowing people to take anything out. So there was no proof of what they had seen.
Right. Well, usually I would think in these secret meetings they have, with no one watching, they're handing each other their offshore bank coordinates. This is how it works.
Well, I think that Hillary Clinton, though the Clintons have enriched themselves and Biden has too, it isn't what these people were ideologically on the left to begin with. The Clintons started out as you know, she worked for a communist law firm in California that represented the Black Panthers, Hillary Clinton did, and that their connections to the Institute for Policy Studies, which was a KGB, you know, DGI think tank that was really coordinating. I mean, Anthony Lake, their national security advisor, came out of that. This is a communist front organization. So the Clinton administration was a communist front filled with people who really believed in that. And when I met Derek Scheer, he came to my campus to speak at UC Irvine in 1981. He's a friend of the Clintons. He got appointed ambassador to Finland by Bill Clinton. He was part of that, Bill Clinton's close circle of friends. And Scheer told me that the plan was to elect a stealth communist / socialist president in the U.S.
Say that name again. Who is that?
Derek Scheer.
Oh, Derek Scheer.
Scheer was working at that time when I met him. He was working with Tom Hayden, who was married to Jane Fonda. And they were promoting something called economic democracy, right? Yeah. Which is what if you go to the Communist Party today, it's their plan for taking over America, which is The Road to Socialism, it's titled. they will mention that, that economic democracy is the key to overthrowing the Constitution, because our Constitution is not socialist. And you have to, you can't have a true socialist system unless you get rid of the Constitution. They call it, they use the term pushing past the Constitution in the communist document. But everything in the Communist Party a document for changing America, the road to socialism, is what the Democratic Party is doing. And of course, I attended communist meetings where they said, we're taking over the Democratic Party through its left wing, and we're going to put stealth socialist presidents in. And I heard this from a number of, this was in the early 80s, this was all throughout the communist left. They were telling the faithful this. I don't know how the conservatives missed it, but I think conservatives were also infiltrated, and certain themes were not spoken of, and I think that was on purpose. It's very important for the communists to compromise people on the right to make sure that certain knowledge doesn't get out to the people.
Well, the early 80s were a milk and honey period, so everything was somehow legitimized by, of gratification, quick gratification, and Ronald Reagan was there, and there was some kind of glasnost. Oh, that was it. That was another thing, you see. So, thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, that started with Gorbachev. Yeah. Gorbachev came into power in 1985 after the death of Chernenko. Right. Yeah.
Yeah, well, in the 80s, there was this transition between what people, the Cold War, and then what people thought was the end of the Cold War. And so all kinds of these things. And you had other people in international relations. I forget his name, but he was Alexander Wendt, and his international way of looking at things, that states of anarchy, states can make anarchy what they want of it, right? So, I'll let you go. Thanks for taking the call.
Thank you, Jane.
Thank you.
I appreciate it. Okay. Thank you. We got 2 minutes before the last break. Any updates on China?
China's still preparing for war against the U.S. China's economy is hitting more bumps, and I'm told that the Chinese economy is in serious trouble. And of course, going to war is one of the ways to get out of that trouble with the Chinese public. If they're at war, they can blame the enemy for any hardships, economic hardships the Chinese people need to face. There's also this lung disease affecting children in China. What do they call it? White lung disease.
White lung, right.
And it's a bit of a mystery. And just like with COVID, I mean, the science around this is very curious. What is going on is unclear, just like with the beginnings of COVID. And of course, there was, basically a cover-up. Now we're finding from Trump's director of national security that Fauci basically, lied about COVID-19 being a bioweapon that had been genetically engineered. We're seeing in interviews with him, this is being spread over Twitter or X, and I've seen it in other places. So we're going to get a lot of disinformation when something comes out of China, because if it's a weapon intended to strike us, and I believe there are cases appearing outside of China now, this is a problem. But we don't know. It could be that, things backfire for them. The Chinese, it's just like I think COVID-19 was meant to be more lethal and to last longer than it did. And I think it's mutated, and they're not able to squeeze anything more out of it. But whether this is an accidental release or on purpose or what this disease is, there's been speculation that this has come about because of the extended quarantining of the population in China. That the children, when you quarantine people, their immune system becomes weakened.
That's right.
Because we are constantly tested. Our interactions with other people, we're getting germs, and where our bodies are fighting them off, and our immune system's getting stronger, and it's learning about these germs.
That's right.
When you
hold
isolate
on, Jeff.
People,
hold on, Jeff. We got our last break. We'll wrap this up after the break.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs.
Support those that support the network. Support Dixie Republic at DixieRepublic.com. Email ProudSouthern123@gmail.com and let them know that RBN sent you.
One of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs. For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee.
Hemppaste.com/RBN. Free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for Hemp Paste at republicbroadcasting.org and visit hemppaste.com/RBN.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit drinksupertea.com. The first word is drink, spelled D-R-I-N-K, then the word super, then the word tea. The complete website is drinksupertea.com or call us at 818-965-9113, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.
Well, I wish I was in the land of cotton wool town there. I'm not forgotten. Look away, look away, look away, Dixieland. In Dixie's land where I was born in early on frosty morning. Look away, look away, look away, Dixieland.
We're back, ladies and gentlemen. Well, Jeff, got about 3 minutes here to summarize your thoughts for the day and for the week, sir.
Yeah, well, the thing that people need to be is Thomas had said, from Germany, is to be oriented to their enemy, to know who their enemy is and to know who their friends are. And this is the biggest problem we have, is that we do not, the public and the elite and the media are not oriented. They disoriented. They don't exactly regard China as an enemy. They regard China as a competitor. They don't really regard Russia as an enemy. In the highest ruling circles in Russia and China, they regard us as an enemy who must be destroyed. And you go to, if you go to their satellite countries like Cuba and especially North Korea, you will hear the actual words being spoken. They're more overt about it. You'll hear it also in some circles in Venezuela. You will hear it on Russian TV when they talk about destroying Great Britain or war with America. You will hear it in Putin when he talks about attacking NATO. They're trying to break us down, and they have this plan. And their plans don't always work out, But they keep trying. They keep reforming the plan. They keep perfecting the plan. And they've got us infiltrated. That is the thing to understand. We've got people here that are unwitting agents. They've swallowed the false narrative, and they're repeating it. And there's the actual people who are conscious agents of Russia and China and Cuba that are working in on the left and the right. It used to be people thought useful idiots were only on the left, and that's where you found people who were guiding policy to the advantage of Moscow. But there's different ways of guiding policy to the advantage of an enemy. And there's different narratives for doing that. There's a right narrative for doing this, and there's a left narrative. And we have to, the one thing you have to keep in mind is Russia and China are united. They're allied. The Sino-Soviet split was, as KGB defector Anatoly Golitsyn said, was a fraud. And Nevin Gusek has written a book on this, Was Golitsyn Right?, in which he basically goes into details. He actually outlines all the ways that Russia and China were cooperating when they were supposedly deadly enemies. So there's something wrong with that picture. And we have to be alert to what's happening. Golitsyn said that at the end of the long-range strategy, there would be something called one clenched fist, where Russia and China openly were aligned and worked together, and were then suddenly changed the balance of power in the world so that the Western alliances would be filled with terror, and countries would be stripped from our alliance and join theirs, and we would be more and more isolated, and we ourselves would be flipped and destroyed. So I think we're in that process. We're in the final phase of the long-range strategy.
Thank you, Jeff. We appreciate it. As always, look forward to having you back next Wednesday.
All right. Thank you.
Okay. That's it for the day. Get medical supplies, your energy, plenty of essential oils. Now, while you can, your firearms, ammunition. Never, ever give your guns. Please have a fun, safe, productive day. God bless my beautiful county of Crawford County, Missouri. I get to live in the lovely state of Missouri, the big, beautiful state of Texas. And Lord, please, God bless the United States of America.
John, I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.